Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
My guest tonight is Aubrey McCarthy, who's a businessman, social entrepreneur, and an advocate for those on the margins of society. And himself, by the way, from humble beginnings in Naas, County Kildare, he rose to become the founder of AMC Removals, an award-winning removals company from Elms Home and Living, a home decor store in Punchestown. Now, as the co-founder of Tighlean, Aubrey has spent over 15 years helping individuals rebuild their lives, supporting people daily through addiction recovery and homelessness programs. He was awarded the 2023 Irish Red Cross Humanitarian Award of the Year, and Tighlean are having their Sleep Out Challenge in Greystones tomorrow. So he's on the phone to tell me all about it and what you can do to help. Aubrey, hi, how are you doing?
Niall, how are you? Good to talk to you.
Good. I have to say, you know, you've got my vote immediately just on that intro. I mean, let me just go back to the start for you. You know, it mentions here you come from humble beginnings, blah, 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 and Naas and County Kildare. What made you start off a home removal company, by the way? What was that out of necessity for yourself?
You know, when I was in school, my parents had marital problems, so we were part of custody battles in the High Court, and it was just really messy. There was addiction in the home, so my father sort of headed on, and we were left in the house, so we had to try and make a way of earning money. So I used to advertise home removals, and I was only 15, 16, and I used to rent a van, rent a crew, and I used to do that at weekends. And it started to earn me a few quid.
Right, as it would, yeah.
And I kept at it, and I kept at it. And then I started to buy and sell silver plate, porcelain. And so I set up a furniture business as well. So now I have a business down in Naas called the Elms Furniture Home and Living, and I have a restaurant there right beside Punchestown Racecourse.
Yeah, I know it. I know the place.
You know the place.
Yeah, it's a lovely place.
And then I have my removals business in Naas. But what I've done with the removals is I sort of niche. We move people like yourself from Dublin to Mullingar, but we also move to, you know, Sydney, to San Francisco. This week, I'm moving the Brazilian ambassador to Kazakhstan.
Wow.
So really strange removals, but, you know, it has certainly helped me and allowed me do a lot of other things as well.
Okay, so was it a case when you get into that position, and look, there's no doubt that you're quite wealthy and you've done quite well out of this, right? But is it a case when you become wealthy and you do well out of a business that sometimes the ambition goes a little bit and you kind of get a bit bored and you go, okay, what can I do now? I need to do some good. Is that the way it works? Because I'm just curious now, because I obviously haven't been in that position.
Do you know, when I was younger, I was, I had a front row seat at addiction and chaos. And addiction, when it comes into your family, it's like a hand grenade. It comes in the door and everything is blown apart. So that was what I experienced as a kid. So I always said, whenever I make a few quid, I'm going to try and make a difference. And I remember I was in church one Sunday morning. They were all singing Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. And I was sort of looking around me and I was thinking, there's nobody perishing. There's nobody dying here.
Yeah.
So I sort of went, nah, this isn't for me. And I don't know if you can do a deal with God, but I remember saying, Lord, I'm going to try and do something else. So I started to volunteer in a homeless hostel up in Dublin, just off O'Connell Street. Probably some of your listeners will know it. It was called Cedar House. It's still there, actually.
Yeah.
It's now run by Crosscare. And that was my Sunday, and I loved it. And I met the most amazing, wonderful people who had fallen on hard times, but just needed a second chance. So I bought a bus, and I converted it to a restaurant. And myself and my friend called it the No Books Cafe. Now, we used, if you Google it, we used the Starbucks logo, except we had no books. I mean, how we weren't sent to jail, I don't know.
Done for copyright. Yeah.
And then I got a bus license, and I was able to pull it up onto O'Connell Street from every night of the week, and I was the bus driver.
Mm.
And we started to reach out. We had it converted into a restaurant. We started to reach out and meet the homeless people. And that was back probably 2006. And to this day, many of them are my closest friends. And many of them have gone on. They've their families now. They've their houses. They're productive members of society. And they've got their education. And now they're back, giving back at my homeless cafe on Pier Street, which I've just left about 20 minutes ago, called The Lighthouse.
Mm. Oh, no, The Lighthouse. Yeah. And, and you know, there's a story behind every person out there that's down on their luck, I suppose. I remember one night I was coming out of Club M. I used to work as a DJ in Club M. And I was coming out of Bloom's Hotel. There was a fella sitting on the step, an old grey-haired man. And when I say old, he was in his kind of late 60s, 70. And I said to him, all right there? And he goes, good evening, sir. And he had this wonderful voice, right? But he was clearly homeless. He had a bottle of whiskey in his hand. And I said, are you all right? So I sat down and started talking to him. Turns out, anyway, his marriage broke down and he lost everything and his kids don't talk to him anymore and he was out on the streets. And but you just don't, we assume there's a stereotypical type of homeless person, but that's not really who they always are. You know, they're just not. They're people who just want somebody to actually care and somebody to help, because that one little push might be enough just to, you know, help them along the way.
Do you know, my favourite time of the week is I go up to the lighthouse and I have my dinner with the lads. I sit down at the table, I always pick a different table, and I meet the most wonderful people. And they all have a story, and they have a story that resonates. I just go, wow, these people, if given a chance, if given an opportunity, could they reach the moon. It's interesting, the lighthouse is now managed by a guy who I met, who was a service user, and he was queuing up outside for food. Mm. And he was homeless, living in the park, and he came to me, and he was looking to get into education and all the rest. So we got him into college. That guy graduated with a second master's degree with honours last week.
Wow.
He's now managing the homeless service that he once went. His name is Alan Bobanak, and he's well known. He's managing the homeless service that he came to looking for help. And I mean,
do you get a personal satisfaction out of that, Aubrey, when you see that happening? Do you kind of go, does it make you feel warm and fuzzy and give you a personal satisfaction as a philanthropist, which is essentially what you're doing is philanthropy? Does it give you a personal satisfaction?
I always think if people are given a second chance, third chance, fourth chance, I think, was it Oscar Wilde who said, you can't change the direction of the wind, but you can adjust the sails. So what I always think is, okay, that person in the queue, what can we see? Who's the next Alan Bowen? Who's the next Aubrey? Who's the next whoever? And let's see if we can give them an opportunity. So tonight, you know what I do? I connect, and I'm good at that. So I go to a lot of functions, as you can imagine. And so I'd meet different people, business people, ambassadors. So tonight I had the Argentinian ambassador, Ana Laura, and the embassy staff serving all the homeless. They brought in Argentinian food. They had Argentinian music. All my homeless guys and girls, they were up dancing tonight to Latin American music. And we had a ball. And so it's to try and make sure that everybody's equal and everybody out there knows they're equal. And anybody that wants help, we're there for them. And that's what I set up Tiglin for, to help those that are vulnerable.
Okay, tell us a bit about Tiglin. You set up Tiglin. And I know you spent 15 years helping people yourself, and you got a wonderful award. Actually, I was talking to Gerald Keane there recently, the solicitor, who also got an award for the work that he does with charities as well. But tell me a little bit about Tiglin.
So Tiglin, would you believe, Tiglin was the old mountaineering centre. And I'd say many of your listeners will know it. It's up in the Wicklow Mountains. And I went to AIB in 2008. You remember that wonderful time before the crash?
Yeah.
And I got a mortgage. I got a mortgage of 110%. Niall, you know, that is crazy stuff.
Oh, no, yeah. So but you, those mortgages were meant to give you enough money so you could buy a boat and a car.
You know what I mean? Well, you know what I did? I bought the centre and I refurnished the centre. And thank God, I never missed one payment. And from there, we started to meet people, get them into recovery, get them into housing, get them into education, and basically turn their lives around. And I remember one thing. I remember Michael D. Higgins, when he was in the Dáil, and he quoted a guy called Amartya Sen, and he was a Nobel Peace Prize winner. And he said, there should be a floor below which nobody should be allowed to fall, whether that's in relation to your house, in relation to health.
I agree. He said, I do agree with that.
And you know,
yeah.
And you know what he said? The test of our citizenship is your ability to participate in society without shame. And I'm at the lighthouse tonight, and I have a queue of probably 200 people, and they're from all walks of life. And I'm just thinking, we need to remove the shame. So that's what we try to do at Tiglin. We try to do everything, tackle homelessness, tackle poverty, and give a sense of dignity. So that's why we're trying to do it differently.
And how successful is addiction recovery? Because I hear lots of stories about recovery centres where, you know, 80% of people who go in don't finish the course, the 20% that do go back out on the street, and 80% of those go back on drugs again. So how successful is, you know, the drug rehabilitation and addiction recovery services? Are they successful?
You know what, I've done this now. I set up Tiglin in 2008, so we're talking about 16 years ago. And I'm always going on different talking to different people on radio or TV or whatever, and I'll always say, oh, Tommy did well, or Owen did well, or Alan, or whoever.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I launched a report, which is an academic, external academic report. We launched it in Trinity College, and it was officially launched by Simon Harris, the Taoiseach, and it showed 5 years of evidence-based research, external research, to show that Tiglin is producing the results. And there's statistics in all different areas. It's actually online on the HRB now. But one thing it showed me that, no, there is life that can be restored. You can recover from addiction, and we are producing the results.
Would you do it properly? When you do it properly, obviously in certain places are doing it wrong.
Yeah, well, I think the continuum of care is what it's all about. Yeah. So if you can imagine, you get Niall or Aubrey, and you get them into detox, right? So let's say we're in Beaumont in detox. And then you come out of detox and you have to wait 3 or 4 weeks for a bed for go into rehabilitation. How is Aubrey and Niall going to stay sober for 3 or 4 weeks on the street?
With no support.
So we're not. So it has to be a complete whole person model. It has to be a continuum of care from detox to housing at the very end, but supported housing. So that's what we've done.
Are you getting funding, Aubrey? Because you mentioned Simon Harris launched a report yesterday. Of course, we spend about $7 billion in this country on NGOs on a regular basis, and some of them are good, and some of them are wasting money. But do you get funding? Are you getting any state funding for it?
So now we've 9 centres. So believe me, we need funding. But we get funding from the Department of Social Protection. We run one. I think it's the largest community employment centre program in Ireland. We also get funding for certain workers under the HSE. We'd also get funding for an aftercare program for women. And the report that was launched, it was on RT News yesterday, 6-1, and they were saying that the results for women is over 80%, like phenomenal results.
That is phenomenal.
And it's all, yeah, it is phenomenal. But I think, you know why? Because we offer the full circle. So that when Aubrey has a problem, he can go into housing, get into education, get into employment. And also a new thing we've done recently is family support. You have to get the families back on track. We've opened a new place in Greystones. I've opened a cafe there to get people back to work. I've opened a sauna, a bakery, and we have 29 apartments overlooking the sea. And the whole point is to get guys who were in the lighthouse on Pier Street back into society and be as good or as bad as anybody else out there.
Yeah.
And it has worked brilliantly. Okay, that's all about social integration.
That brings me to my final point. So Tiglin are having a sleep out challenge in Greystones tomorrow. Tell us a little bit about that. So what how can people get involved in that if they want to?
So you can go onto the tiglin.ie and it gives you more details. But every year we do a sleep out. And this one is called Not At Home. We have it in a big marquee in Greystones, right in the marina, happening tomorrow at 7 p.m. But if you look at the homeless numbers, Niall, and I've heard you mention them many times, 14,966.
Yeah.
4,645 of those are children.
Yeah.
We're missing out on a whole generation of home ownership here. So the purpose of this is it's family friendly. We're going to have music, but it also it's going to raise vital funds. And that enables Tiglin to continue what we believe is life-changing work and open the doors to hope, a restoration for anybody out there that's in trouble. And tomorrow night, remember the toy show's on? So we're going to have a live link to the toy show. And we're going to have the likes of Luke Carrig, the Unity Gospel Choir, David Boland, and also Broken Theatre, the circus. They're coming along to do acrobats and that. And Niall Boylan may appear.
I like the way you did that, Aubrey. That was clever.
Throw that in at the end.
It sounds like a wonderful evening out, by the way. And it does sound like a really good cause. And I'm absolutely... It's wonderful to talk to you tonight because you're a great conversationalist apart from anything else, and you speak and you describe everything so well. I wish every guest was as good as you. I really do. You describe everything so well, and you are a credit to humanity. You really are a credit. I don't want to, you know, blow smoke up your you know what, but you are a credit to humanity that you've put so much effort in your life into helping other people. And it's just you are a credit to humanity, Aubrey, and it's a pleasure to speak to you.
Niall, I really appreciate it.
Aubrey, listen, thank you very much indeed. And if people want to get more information, they go to tiglin.ie. That's tiglin.ie if you want to get more information on that sleep out challenge, or you want to get involved, or you want to raise money, or if anybody's out there very, very wealthy and they want to help Aubrey out, you can indeed. Aubrey, thank you very much indeed. Appreciate you coming on the show. What a wonderful man. What a wonderful guy. He could spend his whole life, you know, just living off his earnings from his own business and be quite happy and live it up somewhere, you know, I don't know, buy a nice little house in Florida somewhere and live it up. But he doesn't. He chooses to help other people who are less fortunate than himself. You know, isn't that wonderful? I mean, there are not that many people in the world left that would do things like that. Anyway, social entrepreneur. That's what he is. And not only that, of course, he's a wonderful human being. Thank you very much indeed to Aubrey.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1800 50 11 11. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.